Okay, page kuf and tab 380 toward the bottom. The Alter Rebbe is discussing. Last week we got way off on a tangent over here, but the Alter Rebbe is discussing how you can, when it comes to tshuva, how you can have seriousness and sadness at the same time. And he says, anyway, so the Alter Rebbe is explaining like this: how can you have joy and seriousness at the same time in tshuva? So he starts explaining that a person is certain, when they do tshuva, that Hashem is going to forgive them. And he says, we'll start 2, 4, 6 lines from the top. He says a Jew is certain that when a Jew asks forgiveness from Hashem, there's no question Hashem is going to forgive the Jew. And he says, it's not only is it not a doubt, it's not even a doubt of a doubt. In other words, it's certainty that Hashem will forgive the Jew. And he says, and he brings a proof from Halacha. Like we say in every day the bracha, 3 times a day in Shemon Esrei, Shem Evakshim Slach Lanu, we say, God forgive me, I sinned. And we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, we make a bracha. And we say, with God's name, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chanun, the merciful one, Hamar B'Lisleach, who does an abundance of forgiveness. Now, he says, there's a rule, Hari Safik Brachas Lahakul. There's a rule when it comes to bracha. Whenever you're in doubt about a bracha, a blessing, you don't make it. Why? Because maybe you're going to say God's name in vain. So anytime there's a doubt with the bracha, you don't do it. Yet, 3 times a day, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, with God's name, that He's multiple forgiveness. Marb, an abundance of forgiveness. Which means there's no doubt that God forgives us. Because if there's a doubt whether Hashem will forgive us or not, how can we make a bracha saying God's name? It would be a bracha in vain. We would be getting a sin by making such a bracha. And he says, Ela enkan shum safek klal, there's no doubt at all that God forgives. Mi'acha shebikashnonu, because we asked, slach lanu, mechal lanu, forgive us. He says, v'ilu lo hayunuch, so then if that's the case, Alter Rebbe is parenthetically asking a good question. If God forgives us, then Mashiach should come right away. If everybody gets forgiveness, then we're clean. He says, "V'ilu lo hayinu chayzim v'chaytim." If we taka wouldn't sin right away, hayinu nigalim miyah, we'd immediately be redeemed. Because the next bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem Goel Yisrael, that God redeems us. So the Rebbe says an interesting concept: the fact that Chazal instituted to make a bracha that God forgives us shows there's no doubt in any way whatsoever that Hashem forgives us. No matter how many times you sin. And like we discussed in the past, the difference between, well, one of the zillion infinite differences between God and man. By man, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, we discussed this before, by a person, their patience is limited. If a person's patience is limited, 1 time you hurt me, I'll forgive you. 2 times you hurt me, I'll forgive you, but that's it. And you're not going to hit me 10 times and expect me to forgive you. Why is that? Because our patience is limited. And if our tolerance and patience and power of forgiveness is limited, we'll forgive 1 or 2 or 3 times, that's it. Hashem has infinite kindness, infinite forgiveness. If Hashem has infinite forgiveness, there's no difference between time 1, time 10, time 100, times 1,000. If a person asks seriously, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, Hashem will forgive the person. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says a person, ideally, when it comes to tshuva, they have to be happy. Because what is tshuva basically saying? I know for sure, without any question of a doubt, that if I ask forgiveness, He's going to give it to me.
But he has to do something.
You have to ask forgiveness. Even by people. The truth is, the Gemara says, and this is a very powerful statement, the Gemara says, even people should always forgive. Always. And he says, immediately, the second the person asks you forgiveness, and you see they mean it, you have an obligation to forgive them. 1 second. You shouldn't be mean from forgiving. Like he quotes the Gemara in Bava Kamma that says, even if somebody cuts your hand off, God forbid, you're supposed to forgive them. And he says, "V'imbikish mimenu gimu pama v'leimachal." What happens if you ask three times forgiveness from the person? Somebody, A chops B's hands off, and the A comes to B and says, "Forgive me for, you know." And he asks three times at three different places and so on. He doesn't forgive him. Shuv ain't tzarich levakish mimenu. You don't have to forgive him. You don't have to ask anymore. Why? Because the person was supposed to forgive you.
On purpose, right? That was a mistake. On purpose, the guy cut the other guy's hand off?
Yeah.
And you should say, okay,
I
forgive you?
Yeah. Okay. That's he's quoting from the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is that? Because a person has to emulate God. You have to copy God. We come to Hashem, and we, so to speak, do worse things to Him. Picture, like he said before, you take the face of the king. This is literally the expression that I've used before. Take the face of the king of all kings, and stick the face of the king into manure. That's what happens every time a person sins. No matter what the sin is. We don't do it once, we don't do it twice, we do it as everybody knows how often they sin. Yet, we come to Hashem, and we say, Hashem, you know, forgive me. Slach lanu avinu, forgive me. What do we expect God to do? We expect God to forgive us. What we do to God, so to speak, is worse than chopping off somebody's hand. And if we expect God to forgive us, then we have to forgive others.
If you really don't forgive the person to at least say it, does that make a difference if you don't forgive, will it or not?
No, a person, he says, you have to mean the asking of forgiveness and the meaning of forgiving.
Well, let's say I don't forgive the person for cutting my hand off. If I say, okay, I forgive you, isn't that better than nothing?
Yeah, but the person's supposed to mean it.
Well, let's work at one thing at a time.
Talk is cheap.
It's better than nothing, don't you think?
No. It's misleading. Okay. Now, if you say it, if you say it long enough, you'll convince yourself that you mean it. But a person, ideally, Dalai Lama is saying over here as follows. God, for sure, because God's infinite forgiveness. But Dalai Lama is saying, the truth is, even people have to do it. And then he quotes a story from the Gemara, or Tanakh. There's a whole story. The Gevenim hit David HaMelech, and Shaul HaMelech got angry at them, and he killed out the city. Okay? And then, later, King Shaul killed out the city of Gevenim. And David asked the Gevenim forgiveness for Shaul HaMelech. And they refused to forgive him. The people of Gevenim, he killed out the city, and they forbid, they refused to forgive him. What happens? Gazed David Aleim, David HaMelech made a decree, Shal Yavol Bekal Hashem, they're not allowed to convert, into to become the nation of God, which is Rachmanim, which is a nation of mercy. Because they didn't want to forgive Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech decreed that they cannot become Jews. So he says, even a person is supposed to forgive. So Hashem for sure forgives. If Hashem for sure forgives, then a person has to be happy when it comes to the concept of tshuva, because they know they're forgiven for their sins. Obviously, if you don't mean it, Hashem knows if we mean it or not. If you don't mean it, we're not going to get forgiveness. If a guy in Yom Kippur says, yeah, God, I sinned, you know what, I'm planning to do it again. I mean, that's not called meaning it. Huh? Yeah. Well, we all do it, but what Chassidus explains, listen, every Yom Kippur people come to shul, they daven, they ask forgiveness, right? The truth is, most people that are davening, you know, seriously, are really asking Hashem forgiveness. They mean it. But you know what's very interesting? Matzah Yom Kippur, everybody's back to normal. Did you ever see a person really change after Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
A minute or two. Right after Yom Kippur, he'd complain about the chazan and the rabbi and everything that went on in the show, all the Lashon Hara. That's all come right away, the back to Lashon Hara. They're eating, breaking the fast, Matzah Yom Kippur, full of Lashon Hara. Now, the question is, did they mean it? 100% they meant it. And Hashem will forgive them because they meant it. This that they sinned after Yom Kippur. Listen, they have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah got better, the better of them. But on Yom Kippur, when they daven, they taka meant it, they're going to sin again. If a person doesn't mean it, it's a joke. And if a person comes to Shul Yom Kippur, it's a guy that, come on. That's taka, the God doesn't forgive you. You need tshuva, and tshuva means the person means it. He says, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Hashem, Allah has kama v'kama le'en ketz, how much more so, infinitely so, does God forgive a person? And he says, Umar Hashem eshapchem umevarchem, es Hashem. This that so what are we praising God if everybody has to do it? So what are we praising Hashem that He gives a lot of forgiveness if everybody has to forgive? He says, because the praise of Hashem is not that He forgives. The praise of Hashem is a marvelous leich. Abundance of forgiveness. Meaning, like it says in Ezra, in the book of Ezra, God is an abundance of forgiveness. Meaning, Shebamid is bossed done by people. Im yachta ish li ish, if man will sin to man, ubikish mimeno mechila, and will ask him forgiveness. Umachalay, and will forgive him, like we said. V'yachaka chozel l'suray, and then you do it again. You commit the same crime to the same person. It's very difficult to get forgiven again. And definitely if you keep doing it 3 and 4 times, for sure He's not going to forgive you. And this is what the praise is by Hashem. By Hashem, avol b'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the attribute of Hashem, ein hefesh bein pam echod le'elef pa'am. There's no difference between 1 time and 1,000 times. Why? Ki amachila, because forgiveness comes from which attribute of Hashem? Mamidas arachmim, from the attribute of mercy. Umideis of HaKadoshis, and the holy attributes of Hashem, einam b'chinas gvul v'tachlis, are not limited, but like it says, b'chinas ein sof, it's infinite. Like he says in the pasuk, ki lecholu rachm of your mercy never ends. Therefore, l'gab b'chinas ein sof, compared to infinite, in hefesh klal, there's no difference between a small number and a large number. It's all nothing. Compared to unlimited, compared to infinite, 1 and 1 trillion is the same thing. If Hashem has unlimited kindness, unlimited forgiveness, He'll forgive you as many times as it takes, as long as you ask and mean it. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe writes like this, and that's exactly what we just spoke. We say in the bracha of Yom Kippur, God forgives our sins every year. And God forgives us for all the sins we say in Al Chet. Even though you did the sin again. Because like the next year, full of sins. Nevertheless, you confess Him the next Yom Kippur, and always. And He says, not even Yom Kippur, every day. Every day we say 3 times in Shemoneh Esrei, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me. Meaning, even, like Chazal explained, why do you have to say 3 times a day? The answer is because people sin 3 times a day. I mean, people, especially foreign thoughts and not learning and all the things that the Gemara says a person sins every day. So we can daven 3 times a day and ask God forgiveness. And again, after Shacharis, we do the sin. And then we confess Mincha. After Mincha, we do the sin again. We confess it Ma'ariv. After Ma'ariv, we do it again. This is the whole life cycle. Nevertheless, Hashem forgives.
Rabbi Shishman, I was going to ask him, what if somebody wants you to forgive them? No, wants you to say sorry to them. If you don't hear you say sorry at all, why should you have to forgive them?
If you did a crime, you have to say, I'm sorry. Then you ask a shayla. What?
Okay, so not, we don't make a bracha in vain. That's how we know Hashem forgives us. And then you mentioned the Gol Yisrael. So what does it mean Hashem redeems us?
If we wouldn't sin.
If we would, okay, but then, okay. I guess this is very, very long, but we know that the Gol is not because of sinning.
No, what's it for?
There's sikha that say that. The Gol is not from sinning.
What's it from?
Whatever it says over there.
It doesn't say anywhere in the Sichas that Golus is not from sinning. because it says in davening, because of our sins, we are driven out of the land.
Yes, but if we, but if we,
but what you're referring to is.
Thank you for clarifying.
What you're referring to, you're welcome for the clarification. What the Rebbe is referring to in the Sichas is, whatever Hashem does is good. What's the benefit of being in Golus? We're in Golus because we sinned. The question is, what is the benefit of being in Golus? The benefit has nothing to do with the sin. But we're in Golus because we sinned. The second, did you mean, Yisrael is in Tshuva, Umiyad hain in Golus. The second the Jews do Tshuva, they're forgiven. So why are we still in Golus? Because Jews somewhere around the world are sinning. What is the benefit of being in Golus? That because in Golus you could reach a higher level of godliness than you could when you don't have Golus. Because when it's harder to be a Jew, and you're still a Jew, it's a much greater accomplishment than in the time of the Temple, when godliness was revealed and everybody saw and heard godliness. So to be a religious Jew in the time of the Temple, it was much easier than being a Jew now.
Goy Yisrael is in the present tense, right?
Baruch Hashem, Goel Yisrael.
Present tense.
Right.
So why do we say in the present tense?
Because he could redeem us at any second.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
he
should do it.
Okay. Talk to him. And he says even more. Like Chazal tell us, Tefillah Keneged Tumidim Tiknu. We daven instead in the place of the sacrifices. He says the morning in the temple there were two general sacrifices, the morning one, the afternoon one. That's we have Shachris and we have Mincha. He says the morning sacrifice atoned for the sins of the night. The afternoon sacrifice atoned for the sins of the day. He says V'tamid shel Shachar, the morning carbon was Mechaper on the avers of the night. The Talmud shall be in the afternoon korban and forgave for the sins of the day. So what's Yom Kippur about? So why do you need Yom Kippur? It says, Yom Kippur mechaper ala vedas chamuris. The sacrifices only forgave the easier sins, the lighter sins. The heavier sins, the bigger sins, the worse sins, only Yom Kippur did. And he said, v'chein atvatamil korban eila, the korban which is a burnt offering, forgave for positive mitzvahs. And the same thing, tefillah b'zman hazeh, the same thing, davin, today with tshuva, is in the place of the sacrifices. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to ask a very basic question. There's a rule in the Gemara. If a guy says, I'm going to sin and do tshuva. If a person says, you know what, I'm going to eat the chazer, and then I'm going to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, "A maspikim b'yodei lasis tshuva." We don't give him the opportunity to do tshuva. So the Alter Rebbe is asking, if a guy knows that they could sin and be happy, because Hashem will forgive them, why isn't that the concept of sinning with the intent of getting forgiveness? So the Alter Rebbe says, it's not that. And I'm going to explain it first orally and then we'll see it inside. The Alter Rebbe says like this, Echta v'ashuv is when at the time the person sins, he says, I'm going to do tshuva. Then tshuva doesn't help. Not that it doesn't help. It's difficult to do tshuva. Why? Because tshuva caused you to sin. Why did you sin? Because I'm relying on tshuva. That means tshuva is an accomplice in the sin. If tshuva helped me sin, the prosecutor cannot become the defense attorney. But he says when a person sins, and at the time of the sin, they're not thinking about tshuva. And 10 minutes later, they say, oy vey, I'm sorry for what I did. That's not echta v'oshev. That's not sinning and doing tshuva. Echta v'oshev is only at the time you're sinning, you're thinking, why am I sinning? Because I'm relying on tshuva. What?
But isn't it subconsciously that we know that there's this concept of tshuva? Like, in other words, if a person
knows... But it's subconsciously. Aware of, at the time of the sin, that you're relying completely on tshuva.
Maybe you would never sin.
Huh?
Then you would never sin.
Who?
doesn't make sense to sin then. Like, I mean, unless you knew you could repent in a way. It's like, I don't know. If you knew you weren't going to be forgiven, it would be very hard to sin.
The reason a person sins is, in legal jargon today, will be called temporary insanity.
Basically,
no, it's... The person could control themselves. Any person can control themselves. If they're a human being, they have the ability to control themselves. Even an addicted person, Torah says, it can also control themselves.
Really?
Addiction to murder doesn't give a person a right to murder. Okay? Addiction to drugs or alcohol doesn't give you permission to go drinking and driving and killing somebody, God forbid. Okay? The temporary insanity, what the Gemara says is, if somebody comes over to a Jew and says, listen, bow down to an idol or else I'll kill you. What would a Jew say? Kill me. I'm not going to bow down to an idol. Every sin that a person commits is idolatry, is worshipping an idol. Worshipping an idol means you're denying the existence of God. If a person sins and God would be standing right in front of them, and they would be aware that God is standing right in front of them, they wouldn't sin. So if there's a cop watching, you're not going to go through the red light. You're not going to rob a bank if there's a cop watching you. Okay? Why does a person sin? Even though l'cha'era, every sin is idol worshipping, you're denying the existence of God. Why is the person sinning? Because God's not seeing me now. If you would feel that God is watching you and standing over your head, you're not going to sin. Why does a person sin? Because they forget for a minute there's godliness. Okay. That is what's called Ruach Shtus, the foolish spirit that enters the person's mind, that convinces him, you're still a Jew. What did you do already? You ate pig? You spoke Lashon Hara? You did something? What did you do already? The truth is that every sin is idol worshipping. The Yetzer Hara convinces a foolish spirit. The Gemara says, the only way a person sins is when a foolish spirit enters his mind. What is the foolish spirit that enters his mind? The guy says, listen, I'm still Jewish. I believe in God. I do mitzvahs. So what if I sinned? But I'm still Jewish. That's insanity, though, the Gemara says, called shtus, a foolish spirit, because the truth is, every sin is idol worshipping.
You're worshipping the Yetzer
Hara. No, you're denying that God is watching and what, and look at what you're doing.
How about people that like rationalize that what they're doing is okay?
That's even worse.
But
that's even worse.
What entered them?
A foolish brainstorm. An idiotic brainstorm.
I've seen people like that. You can't convince them that what they're doing is wrong.
That's because they're worshipping their brain.
Rather than?
God.
So do you think people like don't believe in God?
No, they just believe their God.
Because they believe, they'll tell you...
They believe in God, but they believe their God.
Yeah, I can see that, because they're kind of narcissistic in a way.
We discussed this too late, really, to get into now. The true freedom is when nothing else but you control you.
What?
When nothing else but you controls you. Anytime, that's what Gemara says, we have no idea how much we allow society and culture and other people to control us. We dress based on what people are going to think about us. Everything that we do is based on the way other people are controlling. I'm not the real me. I have to, I'm afraid, what this person is going to say, what this person is going to say, that thing, dude. People, even the brain person's intellect is not them. When a parent loves a child, you don't love them only if they're smart, and if they're stupid, you don't love them. Because you don't love their brain. Or when they get smarter, they're more person. They're not more person when they get smarter. Right? The person's not their brain. The person's above the brain. If a person allows their brain to control them, that's not freedom. The real freedom of a person is when the real person controls the real person. What is the real person? The neshama. If not, we're a hunk of meat. dead hunk of meat. What is the real person? The real person is the neshama. That neshama is a part of God. So when the neshama is in control of the person, that's freedom. A person that allows, first of all, the people are not even intelligent, because every person, minimal brains, has to understand that as smart as they are, they're limited. The biggest brains of an Einstein or any guy you want to mention, right? The bottom line is, it's still a limited brain. To err is human. Okay? If a person always thinks what I think is right, unless it's based on Torah, I mean, if a person says, this is what the Torah says, and that's why it's right, that's a different story. But if a person comes along and says, my brain is always right, first of all, it's idiotic, because a person has to understand the things we don't understand. There are more things we don't understand than we do understand, no matter how smart you are. So when a person allows their brain to control them, that they're worshipping their brain. Today people are controlled by money. People are controlled by fame, by glory. You know.
Don't forget coffee.
Coffee.
How about anger?
Anger.
Wasn't that a big one? I mean,
coffee and anger go hand in hand.
So the person, if they're not controlled, if they're controlled, the truth of the matter is, if a person is dysfunctional, and everybody fits this boat more if you drink coffee. Every person is dysfunctional until they drink a cup of coffee, let's say, in the morning, okay, or a cup of orange juice in the morning. That basically means that the coffee is controlling you.
Terrible.
Oh, it's really bad.
Why can't you say, mom, drink your coffee?